Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Jerome Zeiler, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. Today I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen, Father Stephen Dominic, and Father Boniface. Let's begin with a prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
All right, well, we were discussing, as always, before the show, what would be a good topic to talk about, and we decided on pleasure and pain, just the general topic, pleasure and pain in general. I think there's a lot of helpful things. It's an interesting topic, and there's a lot of thinking about it can be really helpful in one's spiritual life. So, for example, when we think of pleasure, you think, pleasure is good and pain is bad. It actually, I can't resist. It reminds me of this SNL, one of my favorite skits from SNL, which was they had an interview of Frankenstein and Tarzan and who was the third? Tarzan, Frankenstein, and Tonto from The Lone Ranger. So, and the topic was fire. Fire? Is fire good or bad? You know? So they looked at Tarzan, and Tarzan said, fire good. Yeah, fire good. and then Tonto's like, fire? Yeah, fire good. And Frankenstein is like looking at them and just shock and horror the whole time, you know. So he gets to Frankenstein, he's like, fire bad. And he stands up and like and goes crazy and storms out of the room and wrecks the wall and everything. Anyway, so we were thinking of a show like that, pleasure and pain, good or bad. So certainly, so Father Boniface and I were discussing this, debating this on the way up because, I could be wrong. Actually, I think he's right. But pleasure certainly feels good, and pain certainly feels bad. So you automatically think maybe for that reason alone that pleasure is good and pain is bad. But if you think about it, it's, for example, feeling pain, like say you had no sense of pain and you just, you're talking to someone, you put your hand on the stove and your hand catches on fire and your whole arm is catching on fire, but you feel no pain. Is that some people have this, they don't feel pain like that. Is that good or bad? Obviously, that's bad and it could kill you. I mean, if you can't feel pain like that, feeling pain when something is really wrong is good. It's good to feel pain when something is wrong, both physically and spiritually. And if you you do serious harm to your own soul or to someone else, and you don't feel any pain regarding that, that's bad. feeling pain about things spiritual that are spiritually bad, that's good to feel pain for that. And even our Lord says, blessed are those who mourn. And especially the saints who see the sins of the world for what they are and share in Christ's sufferings and feel pain because of sin, that's good. So anyway, that's some arguments why I would say maybe feeling pain is not bad. Maybe pain itself is not bad. So
I don't think that there's any doubt that pain is a good.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Father Damien, you're talking about, for instance, Hansen's disease, leprosy, does that. It destroys the ability to feel pain. This is why people, as you point out, like Father Damien of Molokai spilled boiling water on his feet, and he discovered that day when he didn't feel pain, he was a leper. But, pain is the healthy response of a healthy system to an unhealthy situation. And I think that's a good way to think. It's something which God has given us for our education. If you don't feel pain, you're not going to get educated.
I'd want to make a distinction, though, that the sensation of pain is definitely good that we're able to sense pain, because pain is an indication that something is wrong.
Right.
And that's why it's a useful tool to have. You don't feel that your hand's on fire. You're missing an important fact about life in that moment, that you are on fire, and it's good to know that you are on fire so you can do something about it. But the cause of pain, the very fact that we feel pain in an unfallen world, I don't think there would have been physical pain. And so the fact that we need to be receptive to pain is a part of the fallenness of the world, and that there would be no pain if it weren't for the fact that the world is not how it should be. So I'd want to say, because a pain is an indication of something gone wrong. Your hand's not supposed to be on fire. The cells aren't supposed to be destroyed. You feel it, and it's good you feel it so you can respond to it. But in and of itself, the cause of pain is usually something that's gone wrong, and it's a mark of a fallen world. Mm-hmm. And so that's the distinction we were talking about in the car. But I think it's also helpful to think about it in a spiritual context of what do we do with pleasure and pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think, and I mean, that's, I found that I was thinking to myself, yeah, maybe pain's not bad at all. Maybe pain is good, or at least neutral. But I do think that's true. I mean, given without sin, without a fallen world, we would not experience pain whatsoever. And no one would want to, just absolutely speaking, no one would want to feel pain, just simply. Mm-hmm. Just, would you like to feel pain or not? No, I would not.
Fire so, bad.
Well, but pain is educative. You know, so there is this, for instance, when you stretch yourself athletically, you know, when you, like a martial artist, when you find your bones are sore after a practice and so forth, I don't think that's a bad thing entirely. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure that the pain as such gets to the point where we're talking about the fallenness. I mean, on the other hand, you know, pleasure can be the same way. It's a two-edged sword. Because pleasure can signal comfort, it can signal a goodness of something. It can also be something to which we become inordinately attached. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Americans are inordinately attached to comfort.
Oh, yes.
And to pleasure. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what drives our society, you know, and an absolute fear, a terror of pain. We have mental pain about the possibility of feeling physical pain.
I think that's linked, because pleasure is, and it goes along with the virtue of niceness as too. These things are all about comfort in the present moment, and they're the virtues of those who are materialists that see this life as it. And so be as comfortable and possible in this life, and take whatever joys you get in this life, because that's all you're going to get. And so you're going to abhor pain. The reason someone would accept pain is because they see a higher good more important than simply the pleasures of this world. So it's not that pain is good, but you're willing to accept it for something greater, such as the martyr. His life is good, but he gives up his life for something even more important. He keeps his inner integrity of his values of something more important than his comfort in the moment. And so that's the reason why pain is abhorred in this culture, is because we've set our goals so small that they can't justify pain. But it's because we're like moral Lilliputians.
I think one of the things that I notice is, you know, pleasure and pain exist on multiple levels. You can have emotional pain that isn't actually a physical pain. You can have spiritual pain. It's about your meaning and purpose that it actually isn't expressed in a bodily sensation. I think it's expressed in the emotions. But the thing is, you know, you can live a life without any drama.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think once in some moments where I've had a personal success or even an intellectual pleasure, in whether it's winning a chess game or seeing in a brilliant, blinding moment the beauties that God's essence is the same as his existence. I mean, you know, I remember one when I actually saw that in First Theology, my mind sort of exploded, and it was powerfully pleasurable, but not in the physical sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a better, I mean, I think there are physical pains and the like worth suffering for those better pleasures. And I do think pleasure and pain are set up in us by God to work together to educate us about how he has set up the good of this world and to remind us of the brokenness when we cut ourselves on it.
I think that's an important distinction as well. It's physical versus spiritual, sorrow versus pain, and joy versus pleasure. Mm-hmm. Because to confuse those leads to all sorts of problems. Like you said earlier that the people acting simply for pleasure often find themselves trapped in vice. And it's because I think pleasure is something sought for its own sake, and it can become a counterfeit for spiritual joy. And so when people seek pleasure as their ultimate end, they find a physical pleasure in food, drink, other things like that. Then when they seek those pleasures as their end, then they find at some point that what they're trying to fill can't be met by physical pleasure. And so while they might be stuffing their faces, they're starving their souls.
There is even, for spiritual people, there are even dangers here because, you know, one thing that I occasionally run into is people who are looking to maximize the spiritual consolations they say find in prayer, mm-hmm. you know, the good feeling, the feeling of connectedness. And that is less important than actually being connected to God, yeah. which is something in the spirit and is not going to be subject necessarily to these movements of the passions, mm-hmm. even the spiritual passions, you know. That can be an attachment.
And Christ will often take that away from us for dry periods of prayer where you don't get the consolations you once did. And he does that so you realize that you don't pray in order to feel good, but you pray in order to be good, mm-hmm. to move you beyond. Because our emotions are the most shallow part of ourselves. And if our prayer life is rooted on an emotional level of consolations, then it's not going to withstand serious trials, and it's always going to stay stunted, not as large as it should be. And so Christ will take away those consolations to move our faith and our devotion to God to a deeper level of our soul. And at those times of dryness, you've really got to see prayer. It's not done because of how it makes me feel, but because it's a good thing to do to follow God. And even to look on prayer as like military drill or exercise. I'm doing this not because of how it makes me feel, but because of the person it makes me become, that is, a friend of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, so I just think this is a very important principle for the spiritual life, which some might not realize. Certainly, I didn't realize this. I wasn't able to articulate it, nor did I realize it for most of my life. pleasure, to seek pleasure and to seek pleasure itself and to avoid pain, that's not, morally speaking, that's not good to do that itself. Now, what is good is to take pleasure in things that are really good and to seek to take pleasure in things that are really good. And given our fallen state, our unavoidable fallen state that we find ourselves in, it is good to feel pain in things that are bad. And that is the mark of a virtuous person. A virtuous person comes to the state where they automatically feel pleasure in things that are good. The just man feels delight, you know, a spiritual delight in justice being done when he does what is just and when others do what is just. And he feels pain, great pain, at injustice being done. The unjust man actually delights in injustice. The goal is to reach that state. And in a really virtuous state, we take great delight in what is truly good. And we are pained in what is truly not good. That's the goal. We're going to take a break here. You're listening to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. Again, my name is Father Jerome Zeiler, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen, Father Stephen Dominic, and Father Boniface. We've been discussing pleasure and pain.
It's been very pleasurable.
Yeah.
The funny thing, though, is, you know, we talked earlier about attachment to pleasures. You can do the same thing with pains. You know, that anxieties, resentments, hurts, fears, these can be things that people get attached to and worry over. They're painful to contemplate, but people can put them down.
But I think they find often a perverse sense of joy in them, like the person who holds on to grudges and resentments, and he looks back on that pain, and in some way he derives some pleasure from that, even if it's just the sense of being a victim or the sense of what I would do differently that would make me look great. We are able to take pleasure in weird things when we start twisting our souls.
That's right. As has been said, you know, friends come and go, but a good enemy is with you for life, through thick and thin, to your dying death.
Is this the Wrath of Khan?
This is Mr. Dooley, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Well, in the spiritual, in the spiritual life, I think it's very important to like reflect, maybe even daily, but on a regular basis, on what we really take pleasure in, and what causes us pleasure and what causes us pain, or what causes us joy and what causes us sorrow throughout the day, and I mean, really look at that and honestly answer those questions. And you know, we will find, I think, inevitably, that in some ways we really do take delight in what is good, and it lifts us up, and you know, it inspires us, as St. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord." I say it again: rejoice. Let rejoicing in the Lord be your strength. Sing psalms and spiritual canticles. You know, he was evidently really buoyed up by that, and he took delight in it, and it really.
I think that's very useful to think of. What is it that I'm banking on to bring me joy in my life? Mm-hmm. What is it that consoles me in a hard day? What is it I look forward to as the ends of all the plans I have for my life? That'll show you what you love the most. Mm-hmm. And when you know what you love the most, it'll show you whether it's a plan that makes sense or not. So if what you love the most is, I don't know, ice cream, say peppermint ice cream, you live for peppermint ice cream, and a hard day at work, you're like, I'm going to have that big bowl of peppermint ice cream, and that's going to make today okay. You can step back and go, does that make any sense?
Yeah.
You're like, can it really? I say that loving peppermint ice cream, by the way, just not more than everything else.
Right.
Yeah. I think there's a real sense in which sometimes it's not choosing pleasure over pain, but one pleasure over another pleasure, because I don't think we can't manufacture feelings, right? Mm-hmm. We can't decide we're going to be happy. I mean, we can do things that might make us happy, you know, as an effect, but we don't just choose our feelings. And so I think in terms of pleasure, it's important to know that we're made in such a way, we're created in such a way that we desire happiness, mm-hmm. you know? And if we follow that genuine desire for happiness in the right way, we will have eternal happiness in heaven. We'll have perfect beatitude. And the issue is often just that we settle for too little pleasure. We settle for an easier pleasure that we know is very small, but it's controllable, because we're not ready to go for the bigger one. You know, we're ready. You know, I love hiking, and you know, like we settle for like driving to the overlook of the Grand Canyon. You know, parking the car and walking 10 feet to the railing, you know, and
sounds great.
Rather than like, you know, strapping on a backpack and starting to climb the mountain, you know, or descend into the end of the canyon, you know. So it's that it's, so in other words, it's almost like it's not just that we, you know, that pain is, you know, it's not just one between pleasure and pain. It's between one pleasure and a greater pleasure that might involve a little pain in getting there. But we're just not willing to take that risk sometimes.
Yeah. God calls us to greatness, and we often want to settle for mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was saying another way that being too concerned, especially for worldly pleasures and comforts, can really warp our own spiritual lives. You'll see some people, and they'll never put it this way, but their attitude's almost, if something goes wrong in their life, they'll get upset at God because they'll think, well, God, I go to Mass every Sunday. I say my prayers every day. I follow all the precepts of the church, and I'm a generally nice person. How could this happen to me, God? With the subtext being, you owe me. I upheld my end of the bargain. Why haven't you upheld yours and given me a perfectly comfortable and wonderful life like a Rockefeller painting, a Rockwell painting? You know, this sense that somehow we're bargaining with God's at arm's length. And that's an example of someone who's concerned with his small pleasures of his life, and God calls him the greatness of being a saint, and he gets upset because he's losing his small troubles. It's like God's calling him to dinner at a 5-star restaurant, and he's upset that he has to give up his tater tots that evening.
You know, heaven and hell. This is what heaven is and hell are. People, I mean, you know, we want heaven now, but heaven and hell is where everything will be perfectly ordered, so that those who have a good will, those who are full of love, and who will what God's will, they will experience pleasure and delight and everything that goes with it exactly as they should. Everything will be perfectly ordered. And the same for those in hell. They'll feel how they should feel, given their disordered wills, you know. So in this life, everything is not ordered. But again, there's a foretaste of each in this life, a little bit, with much less intensity. And but the other thing about, just reflecting on that, feeling pain about something that is really, that one should feel pain about, is good. I think a lot of people, I mean, certainly I did for a while, you feel pain, you just want to not feel pain, period. But it can be really helpful in the spiritual life to feel that pain. Let yourself feel that pain and ask yourself, why am I feeling this pain? And, you know, perhaps, you know, it's a resentment that shouldn't be there. And you work through that. And if you allow yourself to feel that pain and question why you're feeling the pain and bring it to prayer and everything, that can be very healing in the spiritual life.
And you want to avoid the other extreme of saying that that pleasure is bad, mm-hmm. that pleasure is evil. We're supposed, we have days of fasting and penance, but we also have days of feasting. That you're not supposed to eat gruel on Christmas or Easter morning, that there's also goodness and joy, and we take pleasure in that. So it's about... it's about seeing the world rightly and rejoicing in the true good and having sorrow at true evil and seeing the world as it is and not saying it's all pleasure or all pain and thus not able to see the reality in front of us.
40 days of Lent, 50 days of Easter.
The
liturgy of the church is a beautiful example of that. The seasons, going with the seasons, there's a sorrowful time and a joyful time. You know, turn.
You went there.
But I think pain does summon you to action. And that's another one of its, you know, if you do nothing, as I said, you find your hands on fire and you're not feeling it, you do nothing, well, you get severely damaged. Pain enjoins us to do something. And that's a good thing of it. You know, when you suffer a loss, how do you deal with a loss? How do you grieve? You know, what's the shape of grieving? Do you go into resentment? I mean, people will do this sometimes. You lose a child, you lose a parent, and there are people who have it's difficult to go into church again for them, and they have to deal with the pain and yet make a decision about how to respond to the challenge that's placed in front of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but, you know, and we can also just have a kind of notion without thinking about it that the perfect, you know, your best life now is one which has as little pain as possible. And that's, everything testifies that is not true. Your best life now, first of all, you know, objectively, your best life now, if you're having your best life now, that's horrible. That's sad. What does that say about the life to come, you know? No.
Or any future growth.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, but the ideal that we should shoot for it now is the life of Christ, which means times of intense joy, yes, but also times of great sorrow.
Yeah, because in the spiritual life, you never grow or find happiness by walking around the cross. It's always through the cross. That's the path to eternal life. And if we find ourselves doing everything we can to dodge the cross and walk around it, then we're just simply not going to find the joy that God calls us to. We're not going to find the salvation he offers.
And you might even find, if you're trying to dodge the cross, you might actually end up causing yourself a lot more pain than you...
Yeah, you'll end up with a double cross.
Than you would have had by just letting, you know, going where you should.
Yes.
That he who is be my disciple, pick up his cross and follow after me.
Yeah. And you'll be happier for it.
And you'll be happier for it.
All right. Well, great note to end on. Thank you for joining us today for Dominican Dimensions. My name is Father Jerome. And again, I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I've been joined in the studio by Father Stephen, Father Stephen Dominic, and Father Boniface. Let's end now in prayer. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you pour forth the waters of wisdom, preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Dominicans proudly wear Our Lady's Rosary on their belts. The Rosary is a gospel prayer which draws us into the mystery of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. With over 135 friars in formation for the four U.S. provinces, the Dominicans are one of the fastest-growing men's religious orders in this country. This is Father Benedict Kroll from the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C. Consider making a vocation weekend. Google Dominican Friars to learn more.